This is a different kind of hot seat. Oops. This is on its last legs, isn't it, this device? Got to get me a new tripod. Okay. But there's nobody there now. If I move to that corner, is that going to do it? Mm. Yeah. Okay. So what are you going to take away from this training?
Nothing.
That's good. Full marks. That's it. You get to graduate. Full honors.
Pieces of paper.
Huh?
5 pieces of paper.
You've got 5 pieces of paper with the reminders on, which you may well forget about. What else are you going to take away? Possibilities of?
Change.
Yeah.
And lots of things on the move.
Lots of things on the move.
Yeah, like being able to catch myself doing things that I've never been able to, and stop myself or just watch myself do it and then say, oh well, there we are.
Oh well. Yeah.
Without
making a meal over it. Yeah.
And somehow being able to access familiar feelings that I'm, or sensations I've had for probably all my life, and being able to dissipate them rather than wallowing in them, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But then there's other days I can't, but that's fine.
And that's great, you know. That's honest, and it's the truth. That's the reality of this. Is as we learn it, we find the recovery period gets shorter, and the time that we spend in the wallowing or the getting caught gets shorter, and the ability to bounce back seems to get more available to us, and it seems that with time you keep orienting yourself in this direction, then with time you just get less inclined to go there. In the first place, you know, if you're patient and you keep nudging yourself in that same direction, you'll find that gradually you just lose interest in going there. That to me is the common sense aspect that Sydney Banks talks about. He says it's just common sense. You know, if you gradually realise that thinking a certain way produces a certain feeling state, and it's not pleasant. And at some point it's going to dawn on you that, you know, sooner rather than later you're going to start to see, I can see where I'm heading, and you're just not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Without making any big effort or big deal of it, you're just going to see what's opening up in front of you, and you're going to go, no thanks. You know, it's like something, you know what I mean, it's like something that you've tried to like a certain food, and actually you don't really like it. Someone pursues, yeah, try it. And each time you taste it, it's like, no, it's yucky. Eventually, you're just going to stop trying it. Right? You just come to some arrangement within yourself where, I don't need it, thank you very much. It doesn't seem to be good for me to do that. And it's the same with things like this. I mean, I found that with things in my own life where there was a time when, you know, I was still revisiting it, but I was recovering quicker. And then there's a point where you just see that you could go there, but you see you don't have to. That's brilliant.
Mm.
It's fantastic. I can't imagine how much time and emotional energy that frees up for all of us. Well, you probably can, but it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, even for those of us who thought we were reasonably okay beforehand, it's a lot. It really is. It's one of those things we don't see until afterwards, how much time and energy we were squandering unnecessarily. Without realizing it. So this is great. It's really good. What else?
Change the way you interact with other people.
Yeah.
You know, listening to them, and not necessarily giving them the teachings, but sort of putting things in front of them. Giving them the opportunity.
parent again, it's like how much time and energy can we unnecessarily waste in doing things that don't work with our kids? We've all been there. And the fact that they don't work, it just seems to make us do it more, doesn't it? You know, let's just do it louder.
Calm down is always a great one.
Calm down.
When
you're not calm.
Stop shouting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just great.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting in the role playing yesterday somehow.
Yeah.
It reminded me how sometimes with the probably in everything, but especially with kids, sometimes I feel like I would be like, okay, now I need to put on the angry role.
Uh-huh.
And now I should be upset about this because that's not okay behavior. So I'm like, okay, let's get upset.
That's a good one.
And then sometimes you really do get caught in it. Just like yesterday, somehow in that role playing,
yeah.
Sometimes it's...
You lose sort of the fact that it's a role play,
yeah.
And then you're in it.
And I'm actually really not that. I wasn't that upset initially. I'm upset
yeah.
myself. It's,
yeah.
It's interesting.
That's funny. Yeah, who does that? Who gets caught in the idea that you have to be a certain way
mm-hmm.
with a certain person, or to put something across? I've got to kind of get on my high horse, or I've got, you know. Where's that coming from?
You see, it's quite interesting. On the train yesterday, because you have proof.
Yeah.
In the seats. And these people got on and a couple of stops up and come to their seat and you do something.
Someone in it, yeah. It's classic,
and
isn't it?
I just watched the posturing of that, you know, how they really got aggressive with each other. And then when the conductor came along, there was a lot of aggression. And the two older people that were in the seats had made a mistake.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, well, really doesn't matter. There's loads of seats.
Right. They could sit anywhere.
Yeah, they could sit anywhere.
Yeah.
You can tell that upset them for probably a lot of the journey.
Probably ruined their journey, yeah. Isn't that mad?
Yeah, it is mad.
I was trying to do something last week, and every time I tried to do it, I was just getting blocked, and people were just saying, oh, I'll get to it. Nothing was really happening. I was getting kind of annoyed because this is something that should have happened. In the end, I just said to the other, unless you do it today, I'm going to find a lawyer and, you know, get a call to force you to do it. Just to get it out there. You know, suddenly, the door opened and everyone was helping. And
oh, that worked.
Like, yeah, it worked. But I mean, you know what? I shouldn't. You know, I was like, why do I have to threaten someone to get
yeah.
you know, something that needs to be done?
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset that I needed to, you know, go that far and get sort of that serious about something. But, you know, it was their job to do.
And that's it. The thing is, you know, sometimes it's like if you can manage to do what it takes to get something to happen, but without getting caught in it yourself,
yeah,
you know, so you're not taking it personally,
yeah.
Then in a sense, it doesn't really matter what it took, you know,
mm-hmm.
unless we make it matter.
Yeah,
doesn't really matter. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So seeing how it plays out with the kids, seeing how it plays out with transactions like this. What else? Sharon, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say that I think the thing that stands out for me the most is sitting with the information that other people have that innate wellness.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're not trying to fix anything or
yeah.
change anything. It's,
yeah.
it's meeting them on that level. That's
yeah.
been quite, I think, profound.
It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was for me to really see that, and it was something that I kind of intuitively knew all along, but I didn't know it that consciously, you know, that well. And it suddenly became something I was much more conscious of. It's like, whoa, that it's actually a fact. You know, it's not just a good idea. It's not just a good theory. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Everybody's sitting with on a pile of wisdom. They just don't realize it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that is. All of it, that is the thing that went wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a game changer, isn't
yeah.
it?
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially if you're in any kind of helping role as well.
Mm.
But even in general, it's a game changer.
Because it's not just that factor, it's not just a benefit for them, it's actually huge for me.
That's it, you've seen it. Yeah.
time it went really odd, but you know, and now I think, okay, I can go back and try something different and just meet them on that level.
That's right.
You know, I've tried something, or it's just, you know, my thoughts are, I've got irritated thoughts and things like that, but it's the fact that actually they're doing the best they can and they're coming from, but they have got that.
Yeah, the moment you look at someone through those eyes, genuinely, not as a technique, but you just settle into that reality for yourself, and you look out through those eyes, you're seeing a different world from that place, and consequently the people in it are different already. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love what Michael Neal says. I think it's in his book, but I heard him talk about it in an interview where he says, you know, a lot of the work that he did prior to was really, he was really giving people the best advice that he could come up with, you know, like finding the best advice and or recommendation or suggestion or whatever. And, you know, it kind of dawned on him at some point that no matter how good your advice or how well-meaning the intent, if the person is not receptive, it's got no value. You know, if they can't let it in at the time, it doesn't matter how good it is. And it's often the case that people are giving us good advice, which actually makes sense, but we can't make use of it because the consciousness that we're in at the time is not resonant, if you like. It's at a different level. So it's wasted on us, you could say. And he has this kind of paradoxical thing where he said he realized at some point that giving that advice to someone who can't hear it, can't make use of it, it's of no use to them. And when they get to the point where they can hear it, because they're basically connected to their own wisdom, they don't need it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the paradox. At the moment, someone's in a receptive place. Actually, they don't need anybody's advice now, because they're tapping into the bigger source of wisdom. So why would they settle for your advice, you know?
For me, I think it's a
relief. Yeah, to see that that's optional.
Yeah.
Can believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah, that's massive too.
Thank
God for that. Yeah. To believe our own thinking. Isn't that good news?
It's a cosmic joke, man.
Isn't it great?
For me, the relief also comes from knowing that I really don't, I mean, it's always okay, no matter what. I mean, and that I don't think I really grasped before. Like some in the back of your mind, you know, things will work out or whatever, but it's just that really everything really is always okay, even if I don't see it.
Yes.
It really is okay, and
yeah.
Nothing is as important as I think it is at all. Yeah, and that is nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that takes a lot of the angst out of life, doesn't it?
Because then you can just sit back and
enjoy the ride.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds a lot easier than actually
I know.
Is in once I get home, that, you know, might not be the case. But
that could go out the window. But yeah, but you won't ever lose it, you see.
I think so.
You won't ever lose it.
Mm.
There's no going back. From whatever you've seen, there's no going back to a place where you can't. You can't not see it. You can lose sight of it temporarily, but you can't go back to the place prior to having seen it. It's not possible. It's like trying on an old jacket that you haven't worn for a while, isn't it? Does it still fit me? I don't think it does, but I'll try it on anyway.
Yeah, it's supposed to feel quite like that's how I reacted to things and how that doesn't really serve me at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel.
Yeah.
So it's just better to accept. I'm really balanced with my children, which obviously for me is a very important relationship. Sometimes they don't behave how I quite like them to behave, but that's okay because that's not who they are.
Yeah.
And the bit I love is who they really are.
Yeah.
And so the other stuff, okay. I actually did say this to my son because I thought he didn't realise to me. And I said, you know, I don't particularly like your behaviour, but I want you to know that I really love you.
Mm.
And all of that sort of crap between us.
That's all he needed to hear.
Such
yeah.
A thing.
Yeah.
So even if they don't want to listen to what I've got to say to them about this, I think they can see.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a shift, which affects them.
Just a bit.
Don't mention 3 P's to me. Yeah, talk to me about anything.
I caught my daughter the other week. She said something about, and in the sentence she said, "Are there three principles?" And I said, "Where did you hear that? Who did you hear that from?" Because I know for a fact I haven't tried to teach it to her. You know, I said, "What?" And she must have just picked it up from over, you know, eavesdropping on conversation or something like that. And I said, "What is that anyway? That three?" She said, "I don't know. I just heard you talking about it." I said, "No, that's good." She's on to me already. Last thing I want to do is try and lay it on my kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
We're not laying it on to them, we're probably going to lay it on to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're free to pick it up in
yeah.
their own way, obviously,
yeah.
which would be great. But they're equally free not to.
Of course.
I'm not going to insist on it. I mean, when we were in Sharm the other week, a few weeks ago. By the sea, and there's this kind of lagoon thing. It's like not a natural. It's they take the seawater and they create a man-made thing, you know, and put the water into it, so it's like a shallow area where the kids can mess about. There's this little bridge they built across it. We were sat on the edge of the lagoon, and it's coming up to lunchtime or something. Omar, our son, he was asleep, and Naveen and I were sat reading. It was like a little quiet moment, just sit reading. And then suddenly I heard this noise, like and there's a couple of guys that appeared and started drilling the bridge. And I thought it was a good idea to go out in the midday sun and do a bit of drilling. And I just kind of looked up and thought, I just thought, that's funny, you know. the two of them have got power drills, you know. My thought about it was that it was funny, you see. I thought, wow, you know, God, it's funny that they should do that at midday, you know. And I just went back to my reading. And from that moment, it, you know, it wasn't really in my awareness again. And then a few minutes later, maybe 5 minutes later or so, I heard this yelling. And there was an Italian family sat along the ways from where we were. And this Italian lady had taken it upon herself to go storming up to the bridge and give these guys hell for ruining her day, basically, if not her holiday. And I could see, I couldn't tell what she was saying because it was all in Italian, but I got the gist of it. And she's like, dum, 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 you know, like, what you're doing is giving me a pounding headache. And, you know, basically it's, I'm on holiday with my kids and da, 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 da. And they were like, oh, sorry, sorry. And those two guys, really apologetic. Very happy to put their tools down, you know, knock off early. So I was like, oh, sorry, sorry, we didn't mean it. So they quit the drilling. And then the woman comes back. And she's obviously still in a big huff. And for about the next 15 minutes, she's trying to recruit everybody else into, you know, how upset they should be about, you know, it's like, how dare they? What are they thinking? These stupid guys. And she's still doing the do-do-do-do-do-do. Just like giving herself a headache, basically. And the drilling had stopped. You know, it actually happened for a couple of minutes. And it stopped the moment she went and talked to them. And it was just such a beautiful example. And I turned to Navina, I said, like, check out this woman. She's like, what's she ranting about? I said, oh, you know, the drilling on the. She says, what drilling? This was separate realities, right? Right. So, you know, in my world, it happened for a few minutes.
She didn't even notice it.
She didn't even notice it had happened in the first place. She was just like, what's this woman ranting about? Kind of. She'd never even heard it. She wasn't asleep. She was just sat reading. It didn't exist in her world. In the Italian woman's world, it was still going on, even though it stopped. Right? And it was the reason why she was upset and why everybody else should be upset. I just thought it was beautiful. It was like, wow. It's like someone had set it up for me to see it all playing out, you know. It was so cute. And you just think, wow, that's daily life. You know, in daily life, you get this kind of smorgasbord of experiences. And each one of us, we latch on to certain things. That's the one I've got to get upset about. You know? That's the one I got to get indignant about. That's the one that I should be anxious over, or I should worry about. And we don't realise the arbitrariness in that. We don't see how arbitrary it is. Because when we're in it, it feels real to us, you know. And you look at your neighbour and they it's like, what are you talking about? What dream? It's not real for them. It's funny. What else? Anything else? How's it been for you, Debbie? Second time around?
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Debbie's sat through this nonsense for 2 years running now. She keeps showing up. Try and get rid of you.
And it's a gradual thing. It's not a flash of light, you know, like everything's different. It just kind of happens.
Gradual and incremental. I think it's that way for most people, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, the occasional ones that I've seen where it's a life-changing flash, that's maybe, I don't know, 1 out of 50 or 1 out of 100 or even less, probably.
There are moments where it's a...
Yeah.
Something happens and there's an insight and it...
Yeah, it opens
it
up something.
Changes,
yeah. I was relieved about that also. You know, to me it was really reassuring to see that there was no requirement to have a big revelation, you know, to get it all in one big bite kind of thing. I was very happy about it, because I've seen that a lot in the kind of spiritual guru world. You know, you have someone who's had a big enlightenment experience and then they're surrounded by all these disciples who are not having any kind of similar experience, and so they're all feeling like they're nowhere near to where the master is. And that can go on for years. I mean, it does. People spend their whole lifetime following someone, and there's this seemingly huge gap between where the master is and where the pupil is. And I quickly saw that wasn't the deal with this. You know, that this is available to anybody equally, but we take in our own way, you know, to our own level, as it were. And it's perfectly okay, whichever way it is. You can take little nibbles at this. And gradually it will creep up on you. And some people will just go, whoa, and get a big flash of it, a big hit of it, and that will sustain them for years. And then they'll, you know, they'll come back to it and refresh, as it were. And it doesn't seem to matter. Either way is fine. But there is, I mean, I suppose you say the only requirement for those of us who are a bit slower like me, and the only requirement is you keep showing up. You know, you stay interested and you stay around, you stay curious about it. You keep pointing yourself in that direction for long enough until you feel the effects of it, you feel the benefit. That's all. It's the only requirement. There's no other requirement. You don't have to work on yourself or anything like that, thank God. We've all done enough of that. But I love the fact that it offers that whole range of possibility, you know. Little nibbles, big chunks, occasional leaps. Doesn't matter. You can take it in any which way, shape or form. It's available to anybody, any human being on the planet. I like that. It's very democratic.
I feel free to not listen to anybody else's bollocks, basically. You know, that's very tactful of me.
Dribble.
So I'm free not to listen to my own dribble.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing now. And that when other people are talking to me about this stuff, I don't feel it.
Right.
So I probably feel more irritated with them that they're talking out of their mouths, and I don't really want to listen because I can't help them because they're not interested. They've sort of done their crap on me, and I've never done it in my life. So it's just great. It's just great to see, you know, the difference.
Yeah.
And the possibilities. You know, when you see some, when I see myself change. Even just catching myself throughout the day, I sound like a reasonable person.
What's wrong with me?
You know, you threaten to kill somebody, or just being able to deal with certain situations, not taking myself so seriously, and just that thing of, in the moment, it's all right. It's just a thought. Are you going to add to it and make yourself miserable or not?
That's it. I could, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
Could, but I don't have to.
Or not miserable or happy.
Yeah. This is great.
So that's it.
It's really nice to see the change in everybody.
Lovely,
because sometimes if you don't notice it in yourself, but you look around and you see the whole group.
Exactly. That's what I love about group experience as opposed to one-to-one. Yeah. It's more visible in other people. But to me, it's visible for it in every single case, without exception, in this group. There are visible shifts that have been made, which when you describe your experience, you can also see it and hear it in not just what you're saying, but where you're speaking from. That's what I listen to. And that's something, you know, to keep in mind in reference to what you just said, is even someone who seems to be talking drivel or seems to be going over old ground, when you listen from a different place within yourself, you start hearing something different also.
I think that's the practice.
Yeah.
Because I just listen to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to other people talking in meetings. Usually I'm just going, well, no, recently, since I got back from a holiday, I just can't be listening to this stupidness anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on underneath?
Yeah.
But I'm forgetting to do that, because in the moment of irritation, everything else, that's thrill-seeking sort of behaviour, I'm aware of it, and so I'm just saying it out loud, so I witness myself that the thing is to listen to what the people say.
Yeah, and listening behind the words, that's it. You know, when you start listening beyond the words, then you start hearing stuff that was always there,
mm-hmm.
that you couldn't hear it when you were caught in the content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not listen to my thoughts going, irritable thoughts.
And I saw that happen, you know, with the group that I was in. You know when you join any group for the first time? And the group I was in was sizable. It was 20-odd people. It's people who you make an immediate connection with, or you feel an affinity with. You know that you're going to get on. You know, it's like, it's just an immediate recognition. There's other people where you just don't know, you're not sure. And then there's probably a few people where you think, I don't think so. They seem to be on a very different planet to the one I'm on. And then gradually, you know, as we got to know each other and people shared their experience, but also as our listening got better, I was surprised to find that some of the people who I probably would have judged, probably did actually, you know, judged as being the ones who are, you know, a bit alien to my worldview in the beginning, they became the most interesting people to me. I actually started to get really interested in them and got curious about them, and I got to know some of them really well. And I was kind of watching this happen thinking, how did that happen, you know? Because I didn't voluntarily do it. It was just a byproduct of, I suppose, like the judgmental thinking just got out of the way, and I started to really hear something else, and I made some lovely friends with people that I would have bet serious money on that never happening. Really strange, but it shows you what's possible. You know, you can really come to appreciate the humanness of anybody once the judgmental thinking's out of the way. Well, it's been lovely for me. I just want to say that it's really been lovely. I've thoroughly enjoyed these weekends with you and the webinars. We've got a couple more webinars to do, so I hope you'll show up for those of you that can. But I really have. I've really enjoyed it, and very grateful to you for being willing to take this leap, because it is a leap to come to something like this. There wasn't much on the program, as you recall. Like you could read all that words and think, well, what actually is he going to teach? You know, what's going to. There wasn't much of any substance. So something in you, you know, was alert enough to recognize there was something going on here that was worth pursuing. So I want to thank you and thank that in you, whatever it was, that inner knowing, that wisdom that got you here. I'd love it if any of you are interested to go further with it in whatever way. You've got my full support. I just want you to know that. And that's not just if you decide to ever do anything with me, but anything else that you choose to do in this field, you've got my full support. Because to me, it's a lovely, lovely journey to be on. And I'm very happy to bring people along with me, anybody who wants to. As you know, I'm doing setting up a replacement for this course come the autumn. I emailed you about that. The website for that's going to go up hopefully in about a week or so, maybe even sooner if I get my act together. It's going to be called the Insight Space. So there'll be a new website called the insightspace.com. I will have a new business, in fact, called the Insight Space, which has been formulated now. Since I kind of started to see how that's going to unfold, it became clear to me that there's an opportunity to have a course here in London, quite probably one in Dublin at the same time. So that's what I'm putting out to the world this year, that we'll have a course here, another one in Dublin. Of course, any of you guys who are interested, you'd be more than welcome. What I'm going to say, it's going to be about, I think it's going to be a 6-weekend program, again, with some stuff in between. But for those of you who have already done this, what I would say is that you wouldn't have to attend all of those. There'd probably be a minimum requirement of, say, 4. I think it would be about 2/3 of it would be necessary. And there'd be a corresponding fee reduction as well for those of you who'd already done this. Because there'd probably be some people coming in fairly green relative to you. But since I kind of got that clear that that's what I wanted to do, things came to me unbidden. One was the Tikkun people, you know, the people who organised the conference. They contacted me and asked, they said they kept hearing my name from people who were signing up and so forth, so they got in touch with me. And they said, well, would you like to be a supporter of the Innate Health Conference? I said, okay, what does that entail? And they basically said, well, if you just share the fact the conference is happening with your mailing list and Facebook friends and so on, then we'll promote you, you know, we'll put your name and your business or whatever on our literature and stuff. it's a fair exchange. So
mm.
I said, okay. So suddenly they're offering me very nice free publicity in a few weeks' time. So that kind of made me think, I need to get my act together. So I've got something to publicise. So I start working on that. And then a week later, I got contacted by Rudy from you know, Three Principles Movies. And he said, you know, as you know, we've got all these movies and people have been giving us good feedback. But one of the feedbacks we've had is that there's probably facilitators in the UK who, you know, we haven't filmed, who people don't know about. They know about all these people from the US. And we keep hearing your name. Would you be willing to do an interview with us? So I said, yeah. So suddenly people are giving me vehicles for publicising, you know, the bit that I'm doing. So I'm going on Mondays, tomorrow. I'm going to film the interview with Rudy and Jenny up in Colchester, wherever that is. So you'll see that soon. And of course, you'll leave nice comments after you've watched it. You'll
nice. I've got the hang of Facebook.
Yeah, you'll leave nice comments and you'll share it with your friends and whatever it is you do. You like it. You tick like, don't you? You like it. You'll all like it, won't you? So these things are just, to me, these are confirmations. You know, when things come to you that are kind of in alignment with what you're seeking to do, and you didn't necessarily go looking for them, but they just come at the right time. I take that as a good sign. I've kind of always worked that way, where you get these little nudges, you know, because I have my doubts, believe it or not. You know, I get these good ideas. I think, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. We'll have a call, and then when I get down to the practicality of it, I think, oh shit, you know. What does that involve? And it can seem daunting at times. And, you know, you've got to book rooms way ahead. You've got to pay for rooms where you've got to invest a few thousand up front without actually knowing whether anybody's going to show up. And I can generate thinking about that as quickly as anybody else, you know. So there's moments when I just sit there and think, maybe I'll just go back to some other kind of job, you know. And then I remember that I never had one. I don't know what it is I could go back to, actually. So I think, oh, shit, I seem to be committed. So I keep going. So it's a bit like that for me. It's three steps forward and the occasional one back. But I'm still moving in this direction. So there'll be a Three Principles Facilitator Training, is what I'm going to call it. And I'm using the word facilitator because, do you know what it means?
With easy, isn't it?
That's right.
Make
it means
easy.
To make easy. That's what it means. If you're a facilitator, you make something easy for someone else. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's nicer than consultant or practitioner or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Consultant actually implies that you have expertise, that people consult with you and you advise them or you give. And I thought, no, that's not right. That's not what this is about. It's about making easy. So it's going to be three principle facilitator training. And it's going to be for people who have already seen enough to know that this is something that they'd like to do professionally or semi-professionally, either in their existing environment that you're already working in or as a new, you know, as a new career path. That's what I want to work with, basically, people who are already passionate enough about it that they want to really jump in and go forth. So I'm hopeful that will happen this year. As I say, I'd love it if it could happen, that any of you could be a part of it. And if not, we'll stay connected through the other channels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Can I ask something
about
the training?
Anything. Yeah, sure. If any of you got any questions.
Are you planning on having it at the same time, so setting October?
Yeah,
so
it'll run roughly on the academic year, because that seems to work in terms of my schedule and rooms and stuff. Yeah, so starting in the autumn and then running through our autumn, you know, like September, October,
mm-hmm.
running through till about this time of year. Yeah. Yeah.
So for those of us who live in Dublin who'd like to take a bit there and a bit here,
yeah,
that could be a possibility.
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, once I get the dates and the venues and stuff, you know, if you looked at it and said, well, I could do three of those, but not four,
mm-hmm.
but I can do the other one in London. Yeah, whatever, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not. That
would
be.
You could come to Dublin.
That would be quite nice,
thing.
Actually. Quite nice to mix them up a bit, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Mm. Yeah. But you'll know. You'll know if it's a good fit for you, if it's right for you. And, you know, if it is, you'll. you'll find a way to organise your life and whatever it takes to make it happen. If not, my thinking around it is actually reasonably long term now. So I'm thinking of it as something which is going to start this year and it's going to build over time. So, you know, if it's not right for you now, maybe some other point you might find. But do feel free to share it with anybody that you know who might also be interested as well, even if it's someone who's relatively new to it. I think after a while you start to get a sense of who's ripe and ready for this. I have anyway. I can generally spot people now. You know, and you develop a sense for that. So even if it's someone who's not really caught on to it yet, some people, when they're ready, they can get up to speed very quickly. You know, they could just do an introductory thing and boom, they'd be on the training. And that's how it was for me, and I know other people that have gone that route. So not having already done something like this would not preclude anybody. It wouldn't matter. Any other questions? No? Final thoughts? We're going to have dinner tonight.
Mm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody making dinner? Enjoying dinner?
Yes, starter.
You're coming for starter? You're going to fly off
later?
I have to
leave at 7. So.
You can leave at 7. All right. Well, we've got almost a couple of hours now. Yeah. I'm not going back to my hotel. You booked it for 6, didn't you?
6.
Yeah. So it's half an hour walk from
yeah.
here. So.
But I walk up in my normal day, I walk very fast.
Did you say 15 minutes?
I said 15.
Okay. Well, it took us about half an hour last night, but we did call into a few shops, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were scrolling.
We were browsing and strolling.
Is it on the house?
No, it's just, I don't want the little roads called.
St. Christopher's Place. Little alleyway.
And it opens up into
a little
kind of
yeah, so
it's
yeah.
But it's the road before the piazza, isn't
okay.
it?
It's part of the same road. It's all the same
yeah.
lane. It's
yeah.
a pedestrianised
yeah.
lane.
So you just
yeah.
yeah.
What's the name of it?
Yeah.
It's called the restaurant is Cote, isn't it?
C-O-T-E.
T-E as in
yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Coast in French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cote Bistro on St. Christopher's Place. Yeah, the food's nice, the service is usually good. We've always had good meals there. I like them. The wine's good. My wife and son are going to join us. And I don't know if she's going to bring anyone else along, but I don't know. Not that I know of. She might.